The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Wise men know what to do and when to speak. However, on the other hand, fools spell everything without thought and preparation. Now, with this statement, with this thought in mind, please go with me to the book of Proverbs 29 and verse 11. Proverbs 29 and verse 11. Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." We see two main points or two main lessons from this verse. On one hand, a fool utters all his mind. Then on the other hand, a wise man keeps it in until afterwards. So we began this teaching today by asking, which one are we? Because we're going to have to fall down on one side or the other. So throughout this sermon, I'd like for all of us to keep asking ourselves, which one am I? We're going to consider a comparison between the fool and the wise man about communication, about speaking or not speaking, and about when and when not to speak. We go back to this verse 11 in Proverbs 29. We notice something there I think is very, very interesting that I want to point out from the very beginning here, and that is it says, the wise man keeps or keepeth. What we need to realize right off is that this is an act of the will. In other words, this is something we choose to do. It is a choice. So we go back and ask our question, which one am I? Right up front, I want us to understand we make the choice. From this verse, we also can see that a wise man speaks carefully. He does not simply speak hastily, or he does not speak without forethought or without study, nor does he offer his opinions as truth. In other words, he rules his mouth to choose wise words, and then he waits for the right timing. And brethren, here is a major point for all of us to understand and to realize. We do not have to speak and say everything simply because we know something. And I think too many times people think, well, I know the truth, and therefore I have to do this. I have to. We're going to see through the sermon today. No, we don't. We have to know when to speak, not only what to speak, but when to speak and when not to speak. In other words, it is okay for us to slow down, for us to think about what we are going to say or not say, and to prepare before speaking. And absolutely, yes, there is a time to hold back speech, and there is a time to talk and to tell all. The wise man knows the difference. The fool doesn't. As I stated earlier, wise men know what to do before speaking and when to speak, while fools, it says, speaks everything without thought or preparation. I think we probably may not want to put names there, but we probably all know people that we would consider in this category, the subject we're looking at, as being fools. And I think we probably would all see that fools tend to have a tendency to talk a lot, and they cannot keep their mouths shut. If the fool talks arrogantly or hastily or loudly, what do we confirm? That he is a fool. We can come to that conclusion. We're not necessarily labeling him that or her that. We're not saying that. We're not telling them that. But we certainly can come to that conclusion and realize this person is speaking as a fool. And we see that, and we can know that. All of us can know that. In fact, it seems like that a fool loves the sound of his own voice, and he thinks that others should love it also. He thinks that he has wisdom to share, and he thinks others are blessed to hear him. Now, I understand, maybe some of these statements that I'm making are an extreme, but I think we get the principle. I think we get the context of what we're seeing here. So as a result of this, what happens is the fool gets angry when he is eventually isolated due to his ignorant and obnoxious speech. Back in our verse that we've read so far, Proverbs 29 and verse 11, the context is talking about attitude, and here the reference is to anger. We can see that in the context of the verse of the verses here. Proverbs 29 and verse 9, go up a couple of verses. If a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his own soul. Verse 11, a fool utters all his mind. It's an attitude. This is the word is not attitude, but it has that sense in the Hebrew. And then it goes on and it says, but a wise man keeps it back until afterward. Now, I want us to understand right off that anger is not the topic. It is the context, but the principle can be seen in so many different issues when we make this comparison of speaking, when to speak and when not to speak, between the fool and the wise man. Go to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 16. Proverbs 12 and verse 16. A fool's wrath is presently known. Now, if you go back into verse 11, 29 verse 11, we see in the context that the fool speaks all of his mind and all of his attitude. And the context we've seen in verse 9 and 10, that it is talking about anger. But we see in so many other places that it's not limited to anger, but it is certainly is there and we can see it. Any little thought, no matter how frivolous it is, no matter how unstudied it is, no matter how unfitting it is or inappropriate it is, it has to come rushing out. The wise man, on the other hand, waits. He waits while the fool is more concerned about being heard and giving the impression that he has something worthwhile to say. Yet, as I mentioned earlier, and I've already stated this a couple of times, but it's a major point that I want us to think about and concentrate on, and that is that a wise man speaks carefully. He does not speak hastily, nor without considering what to say or to offer his own opinion about something. In other words, he rules his mouth to choose wise words and to wait for the right timing. He will study and he will consider before giving an answer. We know that Solomon said there is a time for everything. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 7. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 7. If you'll go there, Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 7. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. Knowing the right time requires both forethought and decision, which are two areas of wisdom that the fool does not even consider. Or even if he does consider it, he certainly doesn't use them because he pushes them aside and he goes on anyway. In fact, as long as he has breath, and perhaps even a full stomach will help, because Proverbs 30 and verse 22 shows that part. I'm not going there. But as long as he has air to breathe, he will empty out his thoughts through his lips. Ecclesiastes, that's where we are. Let's continue there in chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 12. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 12. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow him up. Now listen to these next verses. The beginning of the words of his mouth, of the fool, is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. So from the beginning to the end, he's rattling on, he's saying things, and those who are wise can sit there and understand, this man is telling me he's a fool. He doesn't, maybe, you know, a fool is someone who doesn't know that they're a fool. By definition, a fool doesn't know that he's a fool. Verse 14, a fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? Actually, if a fool could keep his mouth shut, he might be thought of as being wise. Because that's what the proverb says. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17 and verse 28. That's what we see. Proverbs 17 and 28. Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. And he that shuts his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. But here's the point. He cannot do it. He cannot do it. He's never held back words in his life, and he has no willpower to do so, or temperance, or self-control to do so, which are aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. So at least in this aspect, because I'm telling you, there are people who could have God's Spirit, at least some of the areas of the Spirit of God, can still be fools. But he doesn't have this aspect. Where the contrast would be, the wise man will. He will have this. Because you see, the fool must pour out foolish ideas in the hope of satisfying something within himself. And that something is what I'm going to label as a troubled or fearful pride. Whatever's caused it could be a lot of different reasons that could cause it. But that's what I will label it for this particular teaching. Yet again, it's never going to happen because when he runs out of things to say, what does he do? He keeps talking anyway. Proverbs 15 and verse 2. Proverbs 15 and verse 2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness, or it could be, continues to pour out foolishness. In Hebrew, it could be that just as easy. He continues to pour out. In other words, he doesn't stop. Whereas a wise man will know when to speak, but chooses not to because of the circumstances. Whereas the fool, on the other hand, he doesn't necessarily know what to speak and when to speak, and he certainly doesn't know when not to. He just keeps pouring out. I didn't ask anybody here, but probably all of us, or at least most of us, have heard someone make the statement that I do this simply because I'm just an outspoken person. Some elderly people make statements something like, I have lived long enough that I can say what I want to say. Now, just in the context of how far we've gone in this sermon, what have they just told us? I'm a fool. Do we understand that there is nothing righteous or honorable about being outspoken? And the reason is because when we really take a look at it, it is simply another word for a fool. Because they don't know when to or when not to speak. It obviously would be much better for us to keep our words in and for us to ask God, as David says, to put a watch before my mouth and to keep the door of my lips. Let's go to Psalm 141. Psalm 141 in verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. The sense of the implied meaning is, help me keep my mouth shut. Know when and when not to speak. So, brethren, as true believers of the awesome God, there are some things that we obviously are not to say. There are some obvious things that we are not to speak, such as idle words, filthy words, foolish talking, jesting, backbiting, talebearing, slander. And you wonder why I picked those words. Because there are verses on every one of those points. So this is something that a true believer, somebody who desires to be a wise and understanding person, would never speak these words. We're going to see some of them. I want to show you some of these in Scripture. Proverbs 10 and verse 18. Proverbs 10, verse 18. He that hides hatred with lying lips and he that utters a slander is a fool. Proverbs 11 and verse 13. 11, verse 13. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Well, I heard this piece of information about this person. I know that maybe I shouldn't be telling you, but what have they just told us? Forget what the secret is that they want us to tell us. They just told us here that a talebearer reveals secrets, whereas a wise man doesn't. He keeps it in. And they know when to speak and when not to speak. Proverbs 25:23. The north wind blows away rain, so does an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. Told you all these words that we should never be involved in? We should never speak them? Told you. There are verses on every one of these. Matthew 12 and verse 36, unless we think that they're only Old Testament teachings. Matthew 12, verse 36. But I say unto you, I is Jesus, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Ephesians 5, verse 3, beginning. Ephesians 5 and verse 3. Take a look at the context. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become saints. Continuing right on, verse 4, neither should these things be. Sometimes in Scripture, where there are things that we should or should not be doing, it depends on what company they're with to whether it's something that we should be involved in. And this one is an obvious not be involved in. Neither filthiness. The New American Standard Bible says filthy words. Never. Neither. Nor foolish or silly words. Or silly talking. Nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. God just made this an extremely important topic. So I thought this was just some, okay, you know, some little sermon you put together and, you know, about not talking, you know, not knowing when and when not to say. The context is to be in or not to be in the kingdom. So it just got ramped up a little bit more, didn't it? And the answer is, yes, it did. Yes, it did. Scripture also tells us that many words raise the probability of sin. Proverbs 10 and verse 19. Proverbs 10, verse 19. This again is from the New American Standard Bible. When there are many words, transgression is unavailable or unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 3. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 3. For a dream comes through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. So let me ask you, with this topic in mind, where we are at this point, how much damage and pain could have been avoided by controlling our words? Proverbs 12, verse 18. Proverbs 12, 18. There is that speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Some translations, and I'm not real sure if it's more accurate, shall I say, than health, but they say healing. One damages and one heals. At least it's healthy. Therefore, I think that we should see that the fewer and more carefully chosen and more slowly spoken are our words, the better. Let's go back to the New Testament, to James chapter 1 and verse 19. James 1 and verse 19. And I know many of you will probably have this verse. You will know it, and maybe many of you have it committed to memory, and that's a good thing. James 1 and verse 19, wherefore, or therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I think we all understand that a fool's wrath is quickly known because he cannot keep his angry words to himself. We saw a little about this a little bit earlier, and I told you in the context of Proverbs 29 and verse 11, that's actually what is being spoken of there, but the principle is all through it. But I want to read another verse here dealing with his anger and how he doesn't know how to control it. And that's back in Proverbs 12 and verse 16. And I'm going to read just the A part of the verse. Proverbs 12, verse 16, verse the A part of the verse. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covers shame. Interesting. It's quickly known. I think we all understand that a fool pours out unproven nonsense, and perhaps even worse, he pours out his own personal opinions as truth. On the other hand, what about a righteous man? Well, he studies before he answers anything, as he will be looking for a godly response, a godly reply. He's going to know what God says on a particular topic before he goes, "I don't know, I'll get back to you." That's a wise person. Not knowing, I heard a minister tell somebody this one time in a counseling. The guy said, "What about this?" And the minister said, "Shock me." And I remember to the day, he said, "Not knowing, I hesitate to say, but," and then he goes on and he offers his opinion. I learned from that. That's not right. That's not what the Bible says. Proverbs 12 and verse 23. Proverbs 12, 23. "A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness." Remember I told you earlier, way back when, I said that just because we know something doesn't mean that we have to say it? That's this verse. "A prudent man conceals knowledge." He doesn't speak everything he knows just because he knows it. He's going to know the right timing. He's going to know the person involved. There's a lot of things why we would learn to, just because we know and we think that they need to know, do we really know they need to know before we even give the answer or before we give the opinion or what the Bible actually says on something? But we're true believers and we know the Bible, and therefore we're supposed to tell them everything. No. No. There's a time, and there's a time to, and there's a time not to. Proverbs 13 and verse 16. Proverbs 13, 16. "Every prudent man deals with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly." In other words, he pours it out. Here it is. Proverbs 15, verse 28. 15:28. "The heart of the righteous studies to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things." And then also I think we understand that a fool shows his folly and shame by answering a matter even before hearing it being fully presented. Only a fool answers before he hears it. That's what it says. Proverbs 18, verse 13. Proverbs 18, 13. If you don't know this verse, memorize it. I'm going to tell you three or four during this sermon that I'm going to recommend that you memorize, you commit them to memory, commit them, not just memorize them, but actually live them. And this is one. "He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him." Some of the more modern translations says, "He that answers a matter before he hears it, he is a fool." And I think that's the sense of it. It says, "It is folly and shame unto him." That's kind of nice to call somebody and say, "He answers before he gets the information. He's a fool." That's pretty blunt. And I think that is the Hebrew sense of it. Because you see, here's another thing. The fool cannot rule his spirit, and therefore he proves himself to be a failure among men. Now, he doesn't consider himself that, but that's what he's proving out, and we can see it. We can understand it. Let me show you a verse, Proverbs 25 and 28. Proverbs 25, 28. "He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." If you have a city that's broken down without walls, they've just told you, "We're a city that's a failure." That's the comparison. And what about the wise man? Well, he controls his speech. He has temperance. He has self-control. He uses that aspect of the Spirit of God in his speaking. Proverbs 16 and verse 32, Proverbs 16, 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit is better than, that's an implied, better than he that takes a city. Proverbs 17, verse 27. Proverbs 17, verse 27. He that has knowledge spares his words. Oh, there's that principle again. You thought I just made that up, didn't you? No, it's Bible principle. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. I'm going to start repeating some of the principles that we've already stated, and there are going to be some verses that we've actually covered before. But I want to kind of lay out some of the points about the wise men in, you know, in a 1, 2, 3 or a bullet, so sometimes I do. So we're going to do that. And so here's some things talking about the wise man. The wise man will study before entering. Proverbs 15, 28. We gave that. The heart of the righteous studies to answer. The wise man is slow to speak. We saw that. That's in James 1 and verse 19. And I've asked you to maybe consider putting that to memory. Wherefore, my brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Another point about a wise man will choose his words carefully, and he will wait for the right time to say them. Proverbs 15:23. A man has no joy by the answer of his mouth, but a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Proverbs 24 and verse 26. Proverbs 24, 26. Every man shall kiss his lips that gives a right answer. Proverbs 25, 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. If you've ever read that proverb before and you kind of thought, you know, what all it's about. This is it. This is it. As I also mentioned earlier, both forethought and decision are needed for us to use to restrain or to control our words and actions until we can get a grasp on the situation clearly and then wisely choose a godly response. Where the fool is just going to, oh, okay, and he throws it out there. Proverbs 12, verse 23. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. Proverbs 13, 16. Proverbs 13, 16. Every prudent man deals with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. He lays it bare. That's how we know. It's because of the multitude of his words going on and on and on. There's no proof in it. Proverbs 14 and verse 8. Proverbs 14 and verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Like I said, a fool is somebody who doesn't know he's deceived. Otherwise, he wouldn't be a fool. He'd either be wise, and if he continues to do these, and he wouldn't do that, and if he continues to do this, and he knows that he's doing this, that's something else. That's called in Scripture a scorner, and that's another issue. That's bad. Only God can deal with the scorner. Proverbs 16:21. Proverbs 16:21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increases learning. Got a couple of more verses under this particular point. Proverbs 19:11. Proverbs 19:11. The discretion of a man defers his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. One more in this context, Proverbs 22:3. A prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Back in Proverbs 29 in verse 11, we are told that wise men keep words in till afterwards. But the question is, until after what? It says, fools go in and they speak it, but a wise man keeps it in till after. Till after what? Well, until after several things. Let's see some examples. You doing bullets? I've got bullets for this. Until after they calm down, because in the context, remember, that's talking about anger. And so we certainly want to address it at least from that point of view. So until after they calm down and they can speak carefully or sensibly or with discretion. Proverbs 19 in verse 11. We just read that. But that's a verse to put in this context. The discretion of a man defers his anger, and it's his glory to pass over a transgression. James 1:19, memory verse, already gave you that one. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. The next bullet. Until after they apply Scripture to the situation and find the godly, loving response. Psalm 119 and verse 11. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. 1 Corinthians 13. Still in the same context, and they're going to look for Scripture. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 7. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envies not. Charity wants not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And you have to remember here, the context is, the bullet is, until after they apply Scripture to the situation and they find the godly, loving response. This is going to be the heart. This is going to be the attitude. It's going to be done out of love. Even whatever they speak to the other person is going to be done with that kind of heart. Whereas a fool is not going to have this at all. The next bullet. Until after they have studied for an answer with the words of truth. Proverbs 15:28. We read that one. I told you I was going to repeat some things, kind of pulling some points together. Some verses we've seen before. 15:28. The heart of the righteous studies to answer. Proverbs 22 and verse 17. Let's go there. Proverbs 22 verse 17. Bow down your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart unto my knowledge. This phrase, bow down your ears, it means pay close attention. Pay close attention. That's what it's saying. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. The words of God within you. This is what it's saying. They shall withal be fitted in your lips. They're in you so you know what to say. This is the context. They will know what to study so that they can look for a godly answer. This is the point that we're looking at. And this is what it is saying. Verse 19. That your trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to you this day, even to you. Have not I written to you excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you might answer the words of truth to them that send unto you or ask you. You're going to study it. You're going to know it. You're going to know what it says in the Word of God. And that's what you're going to do. And if you don't know right off, you're going to go, let me go take a look at this. Or you're going to grab your Bible. You're going to look it up because you know the principle, but you don't know exactly how it says or what it said exactly. So you're going to look it up. You're going to look for a way to give an answer. That is the point, and you're going to do it from the Bible. It's going to be within you. That's what these verses are saying. The next bullet, until after they have sanctified the Lord God in their hearts. You're going to say, that really sounds religious. No, it sounds biblical because that's what it says. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That's a phrase that the Church of God over the years has simply, as if they have blotted it out of the Bible, because it sounds, shall I say, too Protestant. No, it sounds biblical. It sounds biblical. And be ready always to give an answer. Oh, you know this verse. You know this is what it said. But did you know that the first part of it was to sanctify the Lord God in your heart? Probably many of us don't. Many of us may not have known that. You could say, yeah, I know there's scripture, and maybe even know that it's in Peter, that it says, be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is within you with meekness and in fear. But did you know that it is in the same verse that says that we are to sanctify the Lord God in your heart and therefore be ready to? And that first part of the verse is something I'm telling you the Church of God over the years has simply not paid much attention to. The next bullet. These are points about what the wise are going to look like. And they're going to keep it in until afterwards. After what? Until after they have heard a matter in its entirety and someone has sincerely asked for their response. Proverbs 18:13. He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him. Proverbs 25:6. Like I said, some verses we're repeating, and that's okay. Proverbs 25:6. Put not forth yourself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better it is that it be said unto you, come up hither, than that you should be put lower in the presence of the prince whom eyes you have seen. You go, what does this got to do with this point that the wise man is going to, until afterwards, until after that they have heard a matter in its entirety, and I'm coupling it together, until we have been sincerely asked for their opinion or for their or our response. Come up here and answer my question. There's a lot of times people make statements and we know things. Should we just give them the answer because we think they need to know? I think from Scripture we can say probably not. Not so much. There is a time, and there's time not to. And what we got to learn is, what is the difference? Samson is an example of someone who uttered all his heart, and it cost him greatly. And the reason is because he couldn't resist the nagging or the, you know, please, 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 or whatever it is that Delilah wanted to get from him. She didn't know the answer. She was knew it was something special, and so she wanted to know. And she kept on him. And he couldn't resist it because he did not have this Bible principle in his mind. Judges 16:17. I'm not just saying this. This is what it says. Judges 16:17. That he told her all his heart, or all in his mind, or all that he knew. Where have you gotten all of your great strength? I'm not going to tell you, not going to tell you. And she kept on him and on him and on him. He beat him down, and finally he tells her all his heart. and said unto her, no razor's ever come up on my head. And what did she just tell him? What did he just tell her? Cut my hair and I have no strength. So what does she do? She cuts his hair and he has no strength. I mean, you know, this is obviously a foolish action. We have another example of a person in the Old Testament who waited for an example for the right time to tell somebody something that was actually bad news, and that person is Abigail. Abigail. She understood this. 1 Samuel 25 and verse 36. 1 Samuel 25 and verse 36. And Abigail came to Nabal. Nabal was her husband. Oh, by the way, Nabal means fool. And behold, he held a feast in his house like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. Wherefore she told him nothing. Now you have to go back and find out what it is that she has been, you know, given information to tell him. So she waits. She doesn't tell him. She tells him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. Then you got to go back, if you don't know the story, go back and find out what it was. But she understood this was not the right time. And that's the principle. We have to understand. The Lord told Samuel to answer Saul, but he told Samuel only to answer Saul part of his mind or only part of his thoughts. 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. Now, that's a pretty interesting question. It's an interesting question. And so the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, go and tell him these words, I have come to sanctify to the Lord. That's where the instruction is. And then he says, and call Jesse to the sacrifice. So we tend to read this all together, but there should be like a stop. He didn't say, go and tell Saul all of these words that follow. He said, go and tell him that I'm coming to sacrifice to the Lord. Verse 3, and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint unto me him whom I will name unto me. You know, the guy I want, which is David. You don't tell him everything. You just tell him what I'm telling you to tell him. When the Apostle Paul was in court, using that term kind of loosely with parentheses, he only declared part of his relationship to the Pharisees. It was to his advantage to only tell part of, why didn't you tell all the truth? He knew all the truth. Because he was wise. Acts 23 and verse 6. Acts 23 verse 6. But when Saul perceived that the one part was Sadducees, who did not believe in the resurrection, and the other Pharisees, he called out to the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, I am the son of a Pharisee, and of the hope of the resurrection to the dead, I am called into question. And what happens? These two people start basically fighting among themselves. He didn't say, oh, and by the way, I think these Pharisees stink. They're not obeying God. It was part truth. I mean, it was what he said was true. But he only told part that in this context actually helped him out to escape. And brethren, we are, as true believers, who are to be wise, we are to avoid folly and to be prudent, sensible, and cautious in our conduct. And as believers, we are to be reviewing and examining all the circumstances in all directions to know what to do, to be able to know how to answer or to answer or not to answer. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Means in all directions. That's what he's talking about. Look around. Know what's going on. Take stock. Know what you can and cannot, what you should and should not. That's the implication of this verse. This is what he's saying. Because, brethren, our words as true believers are to be mainly gracious and not with too much seasoning of salt. And he says, well, you're the salt of the earth, and we're to do it. It's not to be too much, because you can overdo it. And the purpose of our speaking is always to be edifying, or always to be lifting up. Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, building up who? Those are hearing what you're saying. Where the fool speaks and he's trying to build himself up, and the wise speaks so that others who hear his words can be lifted up. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. That's what it says. Colossians 4 and verse 6. This is one of those verses that we're right at the end of this teaching, and if you didn't get anything else, take this verse with you. Commit it to memory. Put it in your mind. Put it in your heart. Use it every day of your life. Because the whole sermon is summarized here. Colossians 4, 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Brother, we have to ask ourselves, can we keep from uttering all our mind? Can we wait until we have the right words and the right opportunity to speak those particular words in that situation? Because, brethren, what we need to realize is the answer will determine if we are a fool or a wise one. Proverbs 29:11. A fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it in until afterwards. Which one are we? And we can choose it. The Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. And I've said so many times, we are part of the Israel of God. And I will bless them. God bless each one of you in being a wise man. Happy Sabbath, and God bless you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.